Now, folks, just let us settle ourselves down around the Word of God, and we're turning to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. We have already read from the chapter 1, but we're going now to the chapter 6. Now, I'm not going to be preaching to you as such. I'm going to just talk to you this morning, and we're going to just let the Word of God speak for itself. Okay? We're going to glean what we can glean. Yeah. I once began to listen to an old preacher, and he was a good one. He's away home to be with the Lord now. But I used to listen to him at home, in the car, or in the lorry, or wherever I went. And I'm going to tell you something, he taught me things. Yeah. And I just loved him when I'd come to the book. Just loved him. Because as a young convert, I could understand everything he said. Everything. And it was just brilliant. And an old boy said to me years ago, he says, young man, this evening you begin to preach, you put the straw where the sheep can get it. For if you're putting it too high, you're only going over their heads. It's no good to them. So it's just that they're putting it where the sheep can get it. So we intend to do that this morning. And we'll see how God permits. It's 12:30. And we've half an hour. And I want you to settle down, find the place, and we're going to glean the Word of God together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're just settling down now with the Word of God opened before us in the pulpit and on the pew. And we pray, Lord, for the enlightening power and presence of your Spirit. We've already read it publicly. Speak on, we pray. Challenge every heart in this meeting today, both in this building as well as beyond. May Christ himself have the preeminence and be glorified. Amen. We have read this morning just that particular few verses from Daniel chapter 1. It introduces us to them and to the circumstances that Daniel and his friends found themselves in at that particular time. There's not much mentioned about the parents of Daniel, nor the family of Daniel. And you know, I was just driving down here this morning, just on my way here to the church, and that something came into my mind. Because if it were my son or sons going through what these boys were going through, how would I have felt as a parent? I certainly would have been worried sick. But there doesn't seem to be very much mentioned about the background there of the family circle. But the Spirit of God introduces us to these three boys in very difficult circumstances. They were taken under captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. And they were chosen out because of their ability. And they were brought under captivity under his rule. Now Daniel was a young man who loved the Lord and walked with God. I don't know when and where he came to that point where he actually put his full trust in God for his only hope. But what I do learn about the young man is this: whenever it happened, there was a reality in that which he had put his trust in the Lord. It wasn't just a matter of saying words, it was an act of divine worship and praise. And we can see him here as a young teenage boy, and he's been brought under captivity, but he's determined in his heart that he's going to remain separated unto God. And not only is he going to remain separated unto God, he's not going to be sidetracked into doing things that he knows is wrong, but his three friends are likewise, they're going to be separated unto God. We can read about them in chapter 3, which is another study in itself. We can read about them as friends in chapter 2 when difficulties arose. The difficulty that arose there was that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream which he couldn't remember, that he couldn't get it interpreted. And it drove him up the walls. And he was so angry because he had brought in everybody from his surroundings in to try to interpret this dream. And because of all his wise men and all of the ones associated with much wisdom, as it were, worldly wisdom, and as he brought them in and requested that they would make known the dream, it was an impossible task. And he was very angry to the extent that he commanded that all the wise men of his company would be slain. And amongst that group of people who were numbered out to be slain was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when the eunuch came to his house, you know, Daniel spoke to him, and Daniel knew in his heart that, you know, if he brought the matter to God, God could reveal this dream. Therefore, he requested for time. Asked for a period of time that he might seek God. I love that, you know. And then after he got the time that he requested, you'll notice what he did. He went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he requested that they would take time and seek the Lord on this matter. That the Lord would reveal that which needs to be revealed. And that's exactly what God did. And God revealed the dream. It's marvelous. But when we get to chapter 6, we don't have Daniel as a young teenage boy. Neither is he in his early 20s or 30s or even 40s. I'm reckoning at this point he could be around 90 years of age. He's now an old man. But I want to tell you something. He's still walking with the Lord. Take a look at verse 1. A new leader has come to the throne. Verse 1 of chapter 6, I want you to see this. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, that the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. I want you to get just the background. I want you to see the situation. Keep in mind that this boy was under captivity now for a long time. But he's even found favor in the heart of Darius. And Darius has brought him to a position, as we know today, as the prime minister of the land. We'd need a prime minister like him again, wouldn't we, in Britain? A man who loves the Lord, a man who knows God, a man who seeks the Lord. That's what we need in Britain. Not what's happening around us today. Man doing that which is right in his own eyes. Not seeking the word of God for advice. I want to tell you something. When a nation turns their back on God, they're in trouble. And we're in trouble. But Darius sees something in this man that draws his attention to him, and he exalts him to prime minister of the land. It's God's doing. God bringing the man to the place where God wants him to be. Okay? Alright? I want you to forget about Daniel. I want you to watch God. Learn about God. And God's bringing him into the position here for a reason. Because God has a plan and a purpose for his life. We have been singing that hymn this morning. You say, Albert, why do you pick these hymns? Because I'm sure Daniel could have sung it if it would have been written in his day. I do not know what lies ahead. The way I cannot see. Yet, one stands near to me to be my guide. Listen, He'll show the way to me. Hallelujah. And child of God, in this meeting today, God hasn't changed. The God who sits on the throne of glory and who was Daniel's God is our God. Hallelujah. And God's now bringing this man to the surface. I want you to see something here because I think this is absolutely mighty. And I'm not going to get it all finished today. I know that. Verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes. Now this would have created problems. Wise people don't like others getting specific places above them. And I'm going to tell you something. It can create a problem within the church. But it was God bringing this man to the place where God wanted him to be, above these boys. Now there's a wee phrase here and it just thrills my soul. Why did Darius set him in such a position? Well, listen to this here. Because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, what does it mean here? Because an excellent spirit was in him. Now, Darius could not see the spirit in him. I cannot see the spirit of God in you. But you can certainly see the results of the spirit of God in you. Because it ought to be the Spirit of God that leads, guides and directs in every aspect of our lives. Now you say to me, what were these characteristics that this man observed that he could see in the life of this child of God? Well, turn with me there for a wee moment to Galatians chapter 5 and I'll show you some of them that I believe that were very evident in his life. Book of Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, very well known phrase. And I want you to keep in mind that Darius seen that there was an excellent spirit within him. Now what was it he seen? Well, take a look at this, verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the spirit is, number one, love. I believe Daniel showed a spirit of love even to them who persecuted him. Okay. Two. Joy. I love meeting God's people who have that joy in their heart. The joy of the Lord. Yeah. I am very happy this morning because of my standing in Christ. You said to me, Albert, are you enjoying your Christian life? Listen, I've never enjoyed it as much. Because every day gets sweeter than it was the day before. And I don't know what lies ahead. The way I cannot see. But one stands by to take my hand. And lead me where he wants me to be. Now watch it. Not only would Darius have seen love in his life, joy in his life, but listen, peace. Peace. That peace of God which passeth all understanding. Peace of God and peace with God. Long-suffering. How long has he been here? How long has he been under the hand of the enemy? But he's long-suffering. Gentleness, not lovely? Gentle character. A gentle man character. Gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith in God to lead and guide in the way. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I want to tell you something. I believe that these were the things that showed themselves in the life of this individual. I believe this is the very reason why Darius set him in such a position, because he was a dependable, honest, upright, sincere individual. And I'm going to tell you something else too. Darius also knew that he was a man who loved his God, who served the Lord continually. Darius was aware of that. Can you see the example he is before us this morning here in Enniskillen? Can you see the legacy he leaves in the Word of God? A man separated unto God, serving the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind. And dear friend, it ought to be that same spirit within us today, within me. I am not only preaching to you, dear friend. Listen, I first and utmost, I'm speaking to my own heart. I'm very much aware of my own failings and faults. Very much so. But what an example this man of God was before the world. And he stood alone as a beacon for God. Now, with him being brought into this position and placed in the position by Darius the king, well, it held its problems. Take a look at verse 4. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now we've got to stop here. There was jealousy that sat in amongst these other boys. Now their first endeavor was, we've got to get this boy removed. He has no right to be above us. And therefore what they did was this, they began to meet in secret and behind closed doors and behind curtains and in behind other secret places. They began to watch him every day in his individual living as he carried it out from day to day before the world. And as they watched him do his job, the job that was given to him at that particular time, listen, my Bible tells me that he done it for the glory of God. For as they watched him and as they observed him very, very closely, listen, the Bible says that they could find nothing wrong with his everyday life. He done everything honestly, openly, and the way it should be done. And they could find nothing to hold against him. But as they watched him, as they observed him, I want you to see what they did see. I want you to recognize this. They saw a man who was sold out for God. They saw a man who did and lived the way he lived for the glory of God and for the exaltation of his name. Listen, but they seen also a man who spent time alone with God,
3 times a day on his knees at his house in prayer. They see not only a man who walked with God, but they observed this man who talked with God. I wonder today, and again I speak to my own heart, as the Word has looked upon me this week, I wonder what their testimony would be of my life. Do I walk as close with God as I ought? Are you, dear friend, in this meeting this morning, walking in a close relationship with the Lord? Is His Word precious to you? Because the reason why Daniel lived the way he did was according to the law. How precious is God's truth to us today? How often do you spend time alone with God, seeking to know Him more, seeking to learn of Him more? Or are you losing out? Listen, I'm not here to criticize this morning. Away with that. But maybe you have grown cold in your heart. Oh, and the outward appearance, it all looks okay. And maybe you are living the life of a Christian, as it were, in the open, all right. But you know deep in your heart, well, I just don't have that same desire for the Word as I would love to have. I haven't got it anymore. It can happen to anyone. I'm going to tell you something. It can even happen to the man in the pulpit. And maybe you have got away from the Word. Listen, let's just get back to the Lord. And maybe God this morning speaking to your heart, and He's looking you back again to where He wants you to be. But as they observed Him, I'll tell you something else. Not only did they see a man who walked according to the Word of God, but they seen a man who talked with God. Okay? We are living in a world which seems to be going 100 miles an hour all the time. We don't seem to have time for nothing. I don't believe that there's one person in this building who was as busy as Daniel. But I'm going to tell you something. He never let time overrule his time with God. And we are told that he talked with God personally and privately 3 times a day. We teach it to the children in the choir, in the wee chorus. Don't we? Daniel was a man of prayer daily. He prayed 3 times. Listen, I believe he not only prayed those devoted 3 times a day where he met alone with God. And I'm going to tell you something. There was no temples in Babylon. He just went home and he shut the door. Shut the door shut. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to meet with God, you need to shut the door and you need to set the phone off the hook. And you need to shut your mobile down. And you need to turn your computer off. I'm reading through a book at the minute about revivals down through the centuries. They're just wee clippets. Absolutely fascinating. I sat back the other morning in my study. I says, Lord, look at what you've done in these men's lives through them. And here was men that didn't have books to fall back on. They didn't have sermon audio to listen to. They didn't have books in their
Faith Mission Bookshop or wherever else shop you go to get them where the sermon helps. I'm going to tell you something. These were men who knew God. These were men who were in touch with God. And God used them. And I'm going to tell you, there weren't only men, there were women. If I would spend as much time on my knees before God in prayer as I do before my laptop, it might benefit me more, spiritually speaking. I want to tell you something. Daniel's only hope was in God. And he knew that God had brought him thus far. And that God would lead him right through. And here he is, and he's going home, and he's shut the door, and he's opened up the windows towards Jerusalem, and he's down on his knees, and he's seeking God. You say to me, what is he seeking God for? I'll tell you what he's seeking God for. Because these boys have plotted and planned behind his back. There's been a decree going to be drawn up now, because they've seen that they cannot find any fault in him in his everyday living. Therefore, they've spotted there's a weakness here that we can use. A weakness, as they thought. Hey, listen, he's a man of God. He's a man of prayer. He's a man who knows what it is to meet with his God 3 times a day. Therefore, we go to Darius. We put a proposal to him. What is the proposal? Well, Darius, we have all met together. All the presidents and the princes. And we want to put something before you. What is it? Well, it says that if any man be found praying for 30 days, except to you, O king, they'll be cast into the den of lions. And old Darius sat up and listened carefully. And old Darius took his pen and he signed the writing. He gave his approval. And the letters went out as quickly as possible. The royal mail were quickly at work. And one of the letters dropped through Daniel's door. And you can see Daniel getting up this morning, whether it was dropped into his door, whether it was placed in his hand, I would reckon he was the first one to get it. And as he began to read, if anybody's found praying to any God except to the Darius for 30 days, his destiny's sealed to a den of lions. I'm telling you, his back's against the wall, isn't it? I'm going to tell you something. There's a conspiracy going on here behind the scenes against the man of God. Do you see it? Do you see when the boys went in before Darius and said, we have all consulted together, it was a lie? Keep in mind, Daniel was the boy who was the head of them all, but he wasn't consulted. Why? Because he was the one that was aimed at. And Darius sealed it, the fool. And he knew he was a fool. And the letters went out and Daniel was brought to a point where he had to make a decision. I'm going to tell you, his back's against the wall. You ever been there? As a Christian, where the circumstances in life is you're backed against the wall, listen, and you hardly know what way to turn. In fact, the outcome looks dismal. What was Daniel going to do? Well, at the same time, on this particular day, like every other day, he headed for home. And he opened the door and went in and shut it. And like every other occasion, he got the windows open. And he says, I'm going through with God. I'm going through.
no matter about the consequences, I'm going through with God. And he did. And they come and they watched him. And they come and they listened to him. Can you see them outside the window? You see it? I often wonder what they heard him pray that day. Ever think about that? I'm going to tell you something I believe that he did pray. He prayed for them. Prayed for the very people who were seeking to get rid of him. Yeah. Now watch this. Do you pray for those who hurt you? I mean, Stephen, when he was stoned to death over there in the book of Acts. Mind him as he was being pelted. Can you see the lone figure sitting in the dirt? Can you see the boys all around him? And they begin to pelt him to death with stones, rocks. Can you see the boy standing there just at the verge of the crowd with his close coats at his feet? Called him Saul. And what did Saul see that day and Saul hear that day that affected him? I'm telling you what he seen and what he heard was this. He seen a man, first of all, with an awareness that he was going to die. And he knew that it was to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Stephen could say, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. But before he closed his eyes in death, Saul heard him pray something else. Lord, hold not this charge against them. I want to tell you something. He learned his lesson well. Where did he learn it? Where have you got to learn it? You've got to go to the cross. You've got to observe the Savior on the middle tree. You've got to watch him as they're having him down there on that Roman gibbet, and they're taking his hands and they're taking his feet, and he willingly is allowing them to do what they want. And as they nail his hands and his feet to that middle gibbet, listen, here's what they hear. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I think Daniel prayed for them that day. But they found him out. And they went back to Darius, and the lad Darius knew exactly what Daniel had done. Now the decree was signed according to the law of the Medes and Persians. That means it couldn't be altered. Not even Darius himself could change it. Therefore Darius was brought to a point where he had to carry out that which he had signed. Listen, be careful what you do. Be careful what you say. And they went to Daniel's house and they arrested him. And they brought him and they took him and they cast him into a den of lions. And they brought the stone across the opening of the den and they closed him in the dark. You say to me, was Daniel not fearful that day? I'm going to tell you this, I would have been very fearful. Humanly speaking, there was no hope. Humanly speaking. No hope. But I'm going to tell you, his hope wasn't in reliance on humans. His hope was in the Lord. And you see old Darius, he went home that night and went to bed. But he had no peace. No peace. But you see in the den, Daniel's at peace with the Lord. Do you know why? Because the Lord's standing right by him there at his elbow. And you know what my Bible says? That he has shut the lion's mouth. You know, we often quote that verse, he is able to do more than abundant than ever we can ask or think. And Daniel was delivered from out of the den and brought back into the position where he ought to be. Daniel's mighty, isn't it? They that honour me, I'll honour them. I'm finished, for my time's gone. There's a wee chorus we sing, and it says this: dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. And maybe today God's speaking to hearts in this meeting. And my heart. And maybe there's a challenge. We're not living as close as we ought. Let us say like the hymn writer of old, Lord, take my life. And let it be consecrated, Lord, unto thee. As God speaks to us, let us trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's a fascinating passage. He's a fascinating character. But listen, he has a wonderful God. It's all of God. May God speak to our hearts afresh today and bring us into that closer relationship with him, which is far, far better. Let us pray.